Hiya, I'm Jet, I'm an addict.
Hiya, Jet.
Wow, before when I come into the meeting and I don't come to this meeting regularly, you know, I think I've been here like once before. And I looked around and I was like, oh, I don't know many people. And I was like, stood at the front, I was like, where shall I sit? You know, and I was feeling all out of place. And I got that sort of thing of feeling separate, you know, and feeling different from people and starting to be a bit like, oh, I don't belong here or whatever. Despite that, I have been coming to NA for quite some time. But I don't know, I suppose what happened then is that, you know, a few people came and said hello. And also I noticed, you know, like some faces that I know in the room. You know, people that I haven't seen for like years, or people where I go, oh, you're still around, oh, that person looks well, or, you know, and just that people have kept coming back and people staying clean in the rooms. And just, I suppose, what happened was I look and I see people who look different from me, and then I see that I have actually heard some of their story, and I've heard some of their personal stuff and their struggle to keep clean, you know, and like to keep coming to meetings and be part of the fellowship. And I realise that I'm not so separate and different from other people, you know, and it helps me. Just that simple thing of, like, coming into meetings and be able to listen to people share and hear people, how they do their life, what problems they have, how they get through them, all that kind of stuff, actually helps me a lot outside of NA as well. Like, it helps me just look at people on the street, and instead of my natural reaction, which is probably quite defensive and a bit aggressive and a bit like, yeah, whatever, I sort of have a bit more of a feeling of being a member of the human race, you know? So that's something that NA's given to me. I think it's probably quite important to, you know, talk about why I came to NA, because I didn't come, you know, because I wanted to feel part of something, or that I'm going to have this big philosophical connection to the human race or whatever. That was nothing to do with it whatsoever. And, I came here because I used drugs and I couldn't stop using drugs. I really, really thought that my addiction was going to kill me. You know, I had ended up in A&E being resuscitated or whatever. You know, I'd had that kind of experience with drugs. And, this is what I found that worked for me. And I suppose that, I suppose I don't come here to hear loads of, like, drug stories of, you know, what drugs people did, all that kind of stuff, because, you know, as someone else said, I've heard that stuff back to front. I know it very, very well. But I suppose I was just thinking of that thing of, you know, when I came in, sometimes I'd look at people and I'd have a bit of a difficulty with identification because I felt completely fucked and they looked all right. And I'd be like, well, what's in common between us? So sometimes when people say a bit of their using, it helps me to think, oh, wow, maybe they've done the same things or whatever. And I was thinking of, like, one story of when I, like, in my using, I lived in a particular squat. And the thing that I remember was someone was hanging out and they were so annoyed that the shower was dripping that they went and, like, cut the shower head off with a hacksaw. And so that it would be dripping outside of the house, which meant that we didn't have a shower. But I do think that that's a very sort of typical addict thing to do in a way, of just like, that's really pissing me off. I'm going to do something quite destructive and not even helpful that's going to kind of fuck up the long term, but it's going to stop it pissing me off in the meantime. Sorry. But yeah, so I was using drugs. I just have this real fear of, like, repeating myself because I feel like I've told my story loads of times. But my maximum that I could stay clean was, like, 2.5 days of really intensely doing something else, whether it was cleaning something, I don't know, whatever. You know, like, instead of compulsively using drugs, I'd compulsively do something else to try and not use drugs. And 2.5 days was the maximum that would work. Someone gave me a basic text before I came to meetings. I couldn't kind of get with the first half of it, like the steps and stuff like that. I was like, I don't know what that is. But I read the stories and I could relate to the stories, and I felt very ashamed because I recognised myself and I thought, oh no, I'm an addict. Shit, I really am fucked. This is it. There is nothing that you know, like, because I didn't know how not to use, and I just thought that if I admitted that I was an addict, that just meant that I was totaled, really. Like, what else was going to happen? I would just, like, have to live my life in, like, a pit of shame and despair. But the thing that I also did was that I asked around, and I knew a couple of people who came to meetings, and they were really, really keen to say, yes, come along to a meeting, come and check it out, I will give you a handhold to a meeting. Like, at no point did anyone ever say, oh, I think you might not be welcome, or anything like that. And my experience of going into meetings was that I was really, really welcomed. I couldn't understand why, you know. I was like, well, why are people so pleased about me being here? And there was people in that room that I had used with who had got clean. There was people I'd never seen before in my life. But I was welcomed, and the amazing thing for me is that people spoke about how they felt. And I sat in that room, like, I do remember my first meeting, and I thought, how come people are saying stuff that I think about? That is really weird. You know, and I really had lived so much in such an isolated space. Like, I constantly used on not being able to communicate with other people. I constantly used on social anxiety and feeling that I just, how would I tell people what was bothering me? You know, how could I tell people about sexual trauma that I'd experienced? You know, how could I tell people that I just didn't know what the hell to do with myself socially? You know, I just felt so out of place. I was also one of them people with drugs. I had no breaks. I would really use until I passed out, and what I wanted to do was just be obliterated. That was my style of using. So when I went to meetings and I heard people talk about, like, feeling insecure or struggling with not being able to stop using, or, you know, not knowing, you know, having experiences that had traumatized them in their lives, and people actually were just, like, talking about this in front of other people. And I also really liked that other people just sat and listened, and it wasn't like, oh yeah, let me tell you my opinion about what your experience is, and or what you should do, and all this kind of thing. Like, that horizontal, just open listening space where I felt accepted, I felt welcomed, I could say whatever I needed to say, and people didn't come and, like, come back and tell me about what I'd said. It was just like, oh yeah. Or maybe someone might say, oh, I got something from what you said, thank you. You know, that was as simple as that, and that was very important to me to have that space, and it kept me coming back. I think what also helped me a lot is that I've loved to hear other people's stories. You know, like the speaker before, it's like, I really like the thing that happens, that I sit around, you know, in Jet's head, feeling separate, blah, 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 all the self-centred rubbish going on, and then someone else opens their mouth and tells their story, and I'm like, wow, oh my God, another human being. And I am genuinely interested and fascinated by the stuff, you know, like, by other people's process. That interests me and it helps me. I need to feel connected. You know, feeling separate all the time is a rubbish way to live. So I've had a lot of that connection in NA, and stories have really kept me coming back. What I found also is that I couldn't choose who else got clean. You know, like, when I got clean, I was living in a house full of other people who were using drugs. I was like, okay, I'm stopping using drugs, I'm going to be doing this. Suddenly, I've heard it, many other people have said the same thing, tons of free drugs arrive. People start, like, throwing drugs down in front of you. Are you sure you don't want to use? No, here's some free drugs, you know. But what I did was I moved out of that house. I found somewhere else to live because I couldn't hang out with my old friends. And also what I found was that, you know, like, for me, it was pure self-preservation. I needed to get away. I needed to be somewhere else. But my friends thought that it meant that I thought that there was something wrong with them, and that I was judging them, I didn't like them anymore, and that I thought I was somehow better than them or whatever. And that wasn't the case, you know. Like, I really grieved my friendships. I grieved that I couldn't hang out with my social circle in the same way. But, you know, I tried to kind of dip in and out of that and be around that stuff, but I really needed to spend time with people who were doing recovery. You know, and that's what I did. You know, I had to let go of people, at least in the short term. And that was very, very hard. You know, and I've often my friends, my old friends very openly criticised me, you know, and were like, made fun of recovery or whatever. And that's just how it was, you know. But what I did was I went to meetings. I went to as many meetings as there was. In the town where I got clean, there wasn't loads of NA meetings every week. So I went to other fellowships because I needed to stay clean. And what I would do is I'd hang out between meetings. You know, I'd get from one meeting to the next. And that's how I stayed clean, like that one day at a time. Or, you know, if there wasn't... Or I'd ring someone up if I was, like, really wanted to use. Or I'd read some literature. You know, I just would really get through the day. And I used to make, like, lists, you know, of what people did during the day, because I had really not very much idea of what people did during the day. So just things like, you know, getting up, having a shower, because we had a shower then, you know, having something to eat, you know, going to meet, like, trying to find a structure in my day and just really trying to establish some basics. And I would go to meetings, I would get phone numbers from people, I would ring up people who I didn't necessarily think that they were going to be my best mates. I just rang them up because I'd met them in a meeting and I didn't want to pick up. I'd go for coffee with people where I just, you know, I mean, sometimes it was just like a bunch of newcomers hanging out talking about drugs, really. That's what we were doing. But we stayed clean, you know, we stayed clean. It worked. And, you know, I remember meeting my sponsor. My sponsor was like, come out to my house for a cup of tea. And I just remember, like, clutching onto the arms of the chair in her house, you know, and just being... I had no idea just how to do, like, normal things, like just have a cup of tea with someone and have a chat. But I still... NA gave me all these things. You know, I did have people there who were there consistently for me. And on the other side of it, I also picked up the phone when people rang me up and listened to whatever they needed to tell me and attempted to do so in a way where I didn't need to judge what the other person said, you know. I think that NA gave me a lot of consistency, like it has done. You know, it's like I remember the first 5 years of my recovery, like standing in the women's meeting that was my first meeting, at around 5 years, and like saying that serenity prayer at the end of the meeting and everyone's holding hands, and I looked around that circle and I thought, a lot of these people have been here for the whole 5 years and they've been in my life. They haven't been like perfect, I haven't been perfect, but we have consistently supported each other through our recovery. And I've heard, you know, like the disasters people have had in their lives, I've heard all the stories that people have been through, you know, before their recovery, or, you know, like very, very hard things that people tell in meetings when it's a place of trust. And we have that anonymity, we have that safety, and people can, you know, have a safe place. And that was very important for me. And just to look around and think, well, you know, people were still there. That was an amazing feeling that people were still there after years, because I didn't have a lot of that consistency. You know, I didn't have a lot of people just, like, accepting me how I was. And I certainly was not and am not perfect. You know, I've got, like, plenty of issues. But somehow people were loving and caring towards me. And I think that one of the ways that NA has helped me to be a bit caring towards myself is that I've been able to sit next to people in meetings and see that maybe they are not fabulously well, and practice a bit of tolerance, you know, and just think, oh, well, there's someone struggling, you know, and have the same thing where people probably look at me and think, oh, yeah, there's someone struggling a bit, I'll practice a bit of tolerance, you know, and it cuts both ways. But I think because I've been able to do it with the person sitting in the meeting with me, what it's really helped me to do is have a bit of compassion for myself, you know, because certainly when I came into recovery, I didn't like myself. I didn't have any self-respect, and my relationship with myself was extremely punishing and harmful. You know, I think there's that thing in the book where it's like something about, you know, slowly committing suicide. It's like, God, yes. You know, like, I do hear people talk about, oh, I had a great time on drugs, whatever. It's like, loads of my using was really just about smashing myself to bits. You know, loads of my using was about having difficult feelings, not knowing how to deal with life, and doing something really, really destructive that I hoped might help, and it didn't really. I would just like wake up 2 weeks later thinking, who am I sleeping next to? Where am I? Oh, hello, person. Apparently I'm in a relationship with her. But I'm not kidding. You know, that has happened to me where I have woke up and it's really been a couple of weeks and I just like look around. It's like the walls are unfamiliar. I'm sleeping next to someone. It's like, wow, what happened, you know? And that's not an improvement. You know, it's like, obviously I was running away from something, but my using did not help things at all. It just made my problems quite a lot, you know, bigger, sort of on a greater magnitude. Yeah, so, I suppose, having said that, you know, how using didn't help, not using didn't make my problems go away. I think it's good to mention that. And I don't know why, but I did have in mind the idea that if I stopped using drugs, then suddenly my life would be really, really good, and I would be okay, and I'd know how to do everything. And that was quite a shock, really, unfortunately. Because, I stopped using, and it was great, because I didn't wake up in weird places. I just was where I was, and that was all right, and... you know, people supported me, but at the same time, loads of the issues that I had kept using on and been trying to suppress came up, and I needed to find a way to deal with that. Yeah. So I did have a safe space of meetings, but for me, what I needed to do was I needed to seek outside help, sharing for like 5 minutes at a time, or chatting with a sponsor, you know, however... My story is that I also did loads and loads of talking therapy outside of recovery, and sometimes I've done years of therapy at a time, and that has helped me, you know. I've also worked the steps, you know, and I don't know, I'm not really completely sure why people complain about the steps. I'm really not completely sure, because I don't know, I think there's a lot of different ways to work them. I think I did like a real kind of talking and thinking and reading a lot about 1, 2, and 3 in my early recovery, and then I got really, really stuck on 4. I wrote like the resentments bit, and then I just got really hung up on the idea that what I would find through working the steps is that I was actually a bad person, and that working the steps would be like proof. I'd find all this guilty secrets and things, and it would prove to me that really, you know, Jet was just completely rubbish, and so I better not work the steps because that is what would happen. And for ages I didn't work the steps, like for years I did not work the steps. I just got stuck, and I got into one of these like very addict kind of thinking cycles of I hadn't worked the steps, therefore I felt guilty, therefore I didn't work the steps. Just that kind of, oh, God, anyway, a bit of a self-defeating cycle. But anyway, at some point, the thing is that I have kept coming to meetings. That's the thing. And I've kept coming to meetings in different countries, wherever I've been. I've kept, you know, coming in these rooms and just, like, I have stayed clean one day at a time. And at one point, like, one of the things I've done in my recovery is I have kind of done a bit of a crossover to where I started having really, really destructive relationships with addicts and alcoholics, and I'm kind of making a mess of my life in that way. And at one point I got into a place of surrender with that and thought, okay, Jet, recommit to the program, need to do some more work on yourself. And I got a sponsor, and my sponsor very, very gently said to me, if you haven't worked the steps, I really suggest that you think about giving them a go, because that might help you. It wasn't none of this like, you know, fist on the table or anything, you know, like you must do this. It's like, you know, I just suggest that this might help you, and I started working the steps of her, and I changed sponsors because I needed someone who could work with me a bit more intensively, but I have worked the steps several times, and I have the thing, I think really the most important thing for me that I could say about working the steps is that I had to grasp the idea that it's a loving, caring thing to do for myself, and that it's about getting to know me. It's about being able to have a bit of distance from the beating myself up, which was just like a natural state of being for me. You know, I grew up and I was like a lot of my parents wanted me to be quite different from what I was, and so I was always wrong. You know, and so I have got that. That's one of my character defects, is like that feeling of like I'm doing it wrong. I am wrong. So, you know, just putting that aside and being able to like work through them steps and just go, no, it's not about being wrong. It's about going, oh, so that's how it is. That's what I've done. That's what my patterns are. Okay, I'm going to have a look at it and just, you know, like really gently and with an attitude of care towards myself, see what I can find out. Because when I came into recovery, I didn't know my own story. You know, I mean, I think everyone has a story, and I've heard loads of people's stories in recovery. And I think that's an amazing thing, is to get a sense of who I am. And I needed to know, you know, what my story is to stop bloody doing it. Stop going around and around and like a treadmill of destruction. You know, and for me, using the drugs is one thing. You know, certainly that was a very destructive habit. It was something I did to try and cope, and then I got stuck inside the bubble and I couldn't bloody stop doing it. But then once I stopped using, I had to look at how does my addiction operate when I put down the drugs. And it's certainly, for me, it's gone in all different directions, you know, whether it's food, sex, people, you know, thinking I can control what other people do with their lives, thinking other people even want to know what I think they should do with their lives, you know, just all these kinds of things about, like, being, compulsion and obsession, and how I can get obsessed about anything. So the steps has really, really helped me to just see who I am, look at my story, and every single time I've kind of gone around it again, it's like I've discovered at a different level something else about me. You know, like recently, I had this very, very weird email the other day where someone that I had a relationship with 30 years ago sent me an email. Hello, I just thought I'd, you know, drop into your life and I wonder if you'd like to have a phone call and talk about the experiences we had together 30 years ago, and I wonder what your perspective was on those things. And I thought, I looked and I thought, who the hell is that? But then when I thought about it, and it was like, you know, like I think I was someone I had a relationship with when I was 18, and I realised it was someone who had been very violent towards me at times, and I actually didn't remember them. It took a while. I had to really think, who is this person? What happened? Somehow, you know, like the mind disappears bits of information. But because I've got recovery, and because I've looked at my story a lot, and because I've done a lot of unpicking, and I've done quite a lot of work, I was able to go, wow, 30 years of relationships with assholes. Like, not all of them, but to go, aha, this has been going on longer than I remember. This is a part of my history that is another bit has been uncovered. And instead of like going, oh, poor me, I just think, well, okay, there's another bit of pattern, there's another bit of healing to get on with, there's another bit of understanding of myself, and I can just apply my recovery. I suppose I'd quite like to say something about God, because that word was something I struggled with a lot throughout my recovery, and I don't know. I was like, God, what is this? Is this like some culty thing? Is it brainwashing? Is it this? Is it that? And when I came in, I was so desperate, I actually didn't care. I was like, good, brainwashing, bring it on. I need something. But I still have many times had to work on that concept of a higher power. And I think for me, it's something really very mundane. You know, it is that simple thing of contact with other people. It is, you know, keeping a basic routine of self-care in my life, being able to have like a sense of excitement or wonder about living, and just thinking, yeah, I enjoy life. And I think that that's really, you know, part of being here is to just like have a meaningful time and do things I want to do. Like, so I kind of keep it quite simple, that spirituality stuff. And I also don't feel the need to struggle with how other people do it anymore as well. Yeah. So I just, yeah, very, very simple. And I think also NA is quite a big part of my life. I remember when I first started coming to meetings, my dad said to me, so how long are you going to do this for then? How long do you have to keep going for? And I was just like, well, I don't know, and I don't want to think about it really, you know, and I don't want to be like, oh my God, the rest of my life without drugs is stretching ahead of me. How am I going to do it? Like, that would just, I don't even know how that would have worked. I really have done it one day at a time. But at some point I stopped resenting meetings. I stopped feeling shame about being in meetings, because I think there was a big part of me that felt like, oh, I'm just a fuck up. You know, like somehow I have like failed at life, and so therefore I'm sitting in an NA meeting. But I have stopped feeling that, and I, you know, I probably do about 2 or 3 meetings a week at least. I have a sponsor, I have sponsees, I work the steps, I do service in meetings. You know, I'm involved. I'm involved in the fellowship, and the fellowship's part of my life, and I like that. You know, I don't think, oh, I belong to a cult or anything. I just accept it, and it works for me. It just works for me as a way that keeps me on. You know, if I'm not feeling well, I go to a meeting, I listen to something, it brings me back on even keel. And I don't know, I really, really like being somewhere where I listen to a broad range of experience, where maybe I wouldn't meet people otherwise if I didn't come in these meetings. You know, I like that. I went to New York over Christmas and New Year's, and I hadn't kind of realised that the dear friend that I was going to visit was a using addict. That was a bit of a... ouch. That was painful, you know, to watch my friend unhappy and using, and me powerless. You know, it's not like, oh, I did try, I don't approve, and all that, but strangely enough, that didn't actually influence what they were doing. Yeah, you know, that didn't seem to magic away their addiction, what I thought. But the thing that I did was I went to meetings in New York, and it was great. I was in Brooklyn in Crown Heights, and I looked on the where to find on the web, and there was meetings in walking distance. And so I would just go walk out the door, like when it got too much or when I just hadn't been to a meeting for a certain amount of time, I'd walk out the door and I'd go to a meeting, and sometimes I would not understand a word that people said in those meetings. But they had the steps on the walls and they said the Serenity Prayer, and people welcomed me, you know, like people did welcome me. They were like, hello, where have you come from, you know, have a text or whatever they were reading. And sometimes I heard great stories again, other times like I really didn't understand what the hell people were talking about, but the meetings worked for me. You know, the meetings gave me consistency and stability and the message of staying clean and a welcome and contact with people and something outside of myself that I needed. You know, and I think I do need that just generally in my life. I really, really appreciate NA. I'm very, very grateful at it. And I might just leave it there. Thanks.